lately I've been saying...
What's the soup du jour? It's the soup of the day. Mm. That sounds good. I'll have that. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of The Brothers Movie Factory.
Mr. Samsonite.
Are you sure that's her name?
I think so. Okay. Slippy, Slappy, Swimmy, Swanson? Swanson?
Check the briefcase.
Let me look at my briefcase. Ah, Samsonite. I was right.
Hey, how about, indeed. You knew it started with Ness, though. Here we are, the brothers of the Brothers Movie Factory. And what we do here every week, we watch a film, we then take to the pod to discuss said film, what we liked, what we didn't, what worked, what didn't. That's when we then take the movie to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it, who would compose it, who would star, and or even go a little further. Maybe do an animation movie and imagine what it would look like live action, or do a newer movie and imagine what it would look like if it came out a long time ago, like in the 70s or 80s. So with that being said, we are the Brothers Movie Factory. Gus over there joining me as always, the brother of the brother of the brother of the brother with honors, Movie Factory. And here we are starting off, we're about halfway through the month. We got a little behind. GoldenEye hit some bumps. We hit a few bumps with the posting of GoldenEye, and then very busy end of the year here, or not end of the year, end of the...
Your year.
Yeah, end of my year, going into summer here. So a very, very busy bit here, end of spring, I should say. Here we are in summer now. We are 2 weeks into June, Carrie, the month we decided to do here. It's almost a joke in and of itself.
I was getting teased by a fellow listener. He's like, June Carey, huh? You're like halfway through the month. Where's this Jim Carrey stuff? I'm like, hey, December. How many days are Christmas? One day. So you don't need every single day or week or minute Jim Carrey. One could be enough, but damn it, we're going to try to squeeze three in.
Yeah, June Carey, and hey, fuck it, maybe July Carey. Who gives a damn? But indeed,
June Carey will carry.
Yeah. June carryover. Indeed, so we watched probably my favorite Jim Carrey movie, at least my most watched and most memorable Jim Carrey movie, and that is Dumb and Dumber. I would argue for me personally, this is my most watched Jim Carrey movie. On some aspects, I would say this movie holds the most nostalgia for me. However, that could be argued for Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls as well. It's almost a tie between those two. I feel like I probably was allowed to watch When Nature Calls more than this growing up. However, this is definitely a movie that I hold a lot of nostalgia for and watch once a year, just about.
And I think this movie is safe to say for both you and I, amongst our most quoted movies, mm-hmm. where quotes of this film are just a part of our vernacular.
Yes. Yes.
Approached and presented in everyday conversation.
I can say that for a lot of Jim Carrey films. I mean, anytime I park, literally anytime I park, you can ask my wife, I'll say, like a glove. Like anytime I park.
Fair enough.
This movie though, it's got a lot of quotes.
Does. I was about to say one, but fuck, wrong Jim Carrey movie. I was about to be like, caffeine will kill ya.
That's the best.
That's the best quote.
That's the best movie. Surf's up a big kahuna.
During my DirecTV days, this quote came out in me, and I still use it to this day. If I'm working with something and it's not working, or if I'm putting something together and it breaks, or just like, I can't figure something out, I always say, flush, you bastard.
I thought you were going to just do, that's not even a Jim Carrey quote, though.
It's a Dumb and Dumber quote.
It's a Dumb and Dumber quote, but it's not a Jim Carrey quote. What's the most quoted Jim Carrey line?
In this movie? Yeah. I don't know. There's so many. Like, man, you are one pathetic loser.
I know. I say, yeah, he must work out a lot.
Like, oh, I'll be playing, I know which one.
I'll play playing a game, and someone would be like, oh, man, this guy's good. I'm like, yeah, he must work out.
That's good. I think the answer would be the same for you and me. The number one Jim Carrey quote from Dumb and Dumber that we say a lot, which would be, that sounds good. I'll have that.
Probably. Yeah. I do say that a lot. I do know that the one thing that always comes to mind as soon as I think Dumb and Dumber, if my friends and I are quoting movies or quoting Dumb and Dumber, whatever it may be, the first thing I go to is always like, Austria. Well, good day, mate. Let's put another shrimp on the barbie. I go right to that one.
I have heard you do that before.
Yeah, it's just a sick tick.
Pull that mic in front of you.
How about you pull your mic in front of you?
It is, because it doesn't leave my face.
Pills are good. Pills are good.
Hey, speaking of pills, our first movie factoid is that famous scene. The whole movie's famous. Every scene's famous.
Yes.
There's that scene in the movie where the guy, his name's Mental, he's going to kill Harry
Lloyd. Rat poison in the burgers.
Yeah. That rat poison is actually Smarties.
Ah,
the good candy. And I remember when I was a kid, I don't know why I did this. Why do kids do half the shit?
You're like,
do?
Pills, yay!
Yeah, I found like a pill bottle. It was like a prescription pill bottle, and I set it on an end table in the living room. Got Smarties, the white ones, and put them all around the pill bottle, and I crushed one up, and I like spread it out. I went and found Mother, and I was like, Mom, someone left some pills on the end table. And she's like, where? And she went and looked at them, and I was laughing. Like, ha, 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 I tricked you. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea or funny.
That's, like, disturbing. You're pretty sick, Chubbs.
It was a good one.
Yeah. That's, like, that's not good. That's, like, where?
Yeah.
Knowing Mother, too, she'd probably be like, what the hell? I remember getting that for trying to swallow a penny, you know? The hell?
Spinning off of that line, like, it was a good one. In the movie, they trick Seabass, the violent trucker, at the gas station or the diner, and they kind of trick him into paying their tab and a few other things, and they hit the road, and they think they get away with it scotch-free. But that's exactly what happens. Lloyd tells Harry, he's like, I saw it in a movie once. He's like, oh, what happened in the movie? The guy gets away with it scotch free. He's like, no, in the movie, they catch up with him a half a mile down the road and slit his throat. It was a good one. That movie is called Something Wild. Came out in 1986. And the guy they catch up with and slit his throat, that's Jeff Daniels.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like Ray Liotta and Jeff Daniels.
Was it like one of his first movies or something, or what?
I don't know about that. Jeff Daniels, prior to Dumb and Dumber, was a pretty well-known actor. He's known for more of like
being a serious actor,
a dramatic actor. And a lot of people, including his agents, were like, do not do this movie. It'll ruin your career. And Jeff Daniels just wanted to do it so bad, so badly, in fact, that he took a severe pay cut because the producers also didn't want him in this movie. Isn't that weird? Agent didn't want him. Producers, the people making the movie, did not want Jeff Daniels because they didn't think he was the right fit, right? They wanted a comedian. They wanted a comedic actor. So they did every little thing they could to try to steer him away from wanting to do the movie. It was Jim Carrey and the directors, the Farrelly brothers, mostly Jim Carrey, that like wanted him there, like fought for him to be in this movie. And Jeff Daniels himself, they offered him $50,000 to play this role. Now, that sounds like a lot of money. That's like as much as we make in a year, right?
But, a million.
Yeah. Oh, I thought I said a million, so never mind. But 50,000 is still a lot of the money. And yeah, he took it because he wanted to be in this movie so bad. And the first week of shooting this movie, they didn't shoot any scenes with Jeff Daniels and Jim Carrey together because the producers thought for sure they were going to either cut him from the movie or he was going to quit. And they even had a comedic actor, I don't know who, like kind of off to the side just in case. But, you know, the chemistry shown through, Jeff Daniels shown through, and they're just like, actually, this for them, it was a happy accident. But to everyone else, it was a very cognitive decision because, yes, people thought it was going to ruin his career. To this day, it's his biggest and most financially successful movie, I'm pretty sure on that.
I mean, yeah, because he was coming off of, I mean, Speed isn't necessarily like a big movie, but he was coming off of the movie Speed with Keanu Reeves, and he was a bigger character in that movie. But also Gettysburg, I mean, that was a huge movie at the time.
He was in Arachnophobia, damn it.
Yes, that too. But that I'm saying, like, these are like his last two big movies. 1993, and then 94 was Speed, and then 94 was Dumb and Dumber.
Yep.
So, you know, he was coming. Arachnophobia was 4 years prior. So, it was like coming off of these big movies, and then, yeah, he did Dumb and Dumber, and seems to have found gone into a bit of a rut. You didn't really see him very much, at least in the big roles anymore. Have you ever seen the movie Blood Work by chance?
Yeah, he's the villain. Clint Eastwood movie.
It's weird seeing him as the villain. It's like seeing Robin Williams in what's
Insomnia.
That movie called? Insomnia. Yeah, it's like the same feeling. It's like, it's kind of weird. It's jarring, so to speak.
It was a few years after Dumb and Dumber. Jeff Daniels was golfing on the links, and he came across Clint Eastwood. And Clint Eastwood came up to him. He's like, I saw that movie, Dumb and Dumber. And Jeff Daniels is like expecting, you know, like just waiting for the criticism. Like, ah, oh, Clint Eastwood saw this dumb movie. He hated it or whatever. He's like, that bathroom scene, that happened to me on a date.
Yeah.
And then a few years later, they're working together in a Clint Eastwood picture. So he must have wanted to work with Jeff Daniels.
Yeah, I've actually heard that. Did you hear that story on the Graham Norton show, perhaps?
I have heard that on there. I read it as well. But yeah, without stepping too far away from a similar factoid of salary, not that we don't care about money here on the Brothers Movie Factory, but that's because we've always had it. That's an aviator line. Anyway.
I've never seen an aviator, so I wouldn't know. I only watch Jim Carrey movies.
Jeff Daniels was paid $50,000 for this movie, which is silly for as big of a name actor as he was. And we all know how much actors make on these big Hollywood pictures. Jim Carrey initially was in negotiations to be paid $700,000. But during negotiations that weekend, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, released, and it was a huge hit. He became like number one star in America. So that $700,000 changed to $7 million, and that's how much he got paid for Dumb and Dumber. Crazy.
Right before he got robbed by a sweet old lady on a motorized cart,
and he would see it coming.
You get this. If you had to guess, give me your best Rotten Tomatoes rating for Dumb and Dumber off the top of your head. If you had to guess what percentage, 1 through 100, okay. 0 through 100.
I'm going to guess it's fresh.
It is fresh. So it's fresh. It's above a 50.
I'm going to guess 76.
No. So I looked up best Jim Carrey movies before the show today, and there was an According to Rotten Tomatoes list. And it is actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th on the list. Is 8th on the list.
I bet I can guess his number one.
What's his number one?
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
No. It's number two. Truman Show. Okay. Number one.
I was gonna. That was my second guess. Was Truman Show.
That was my second guess. Truman Show with a 95. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, 92. What about number three? Can you guess number three? If you can guess number three, I'll give you all the money in my wallet.
I want to say Man on the Moon.
No, that's not even in the top ten.
Okay. Number three. Oh my. It's not Liar Liar. It would be Liar Liar.
It is Liar Liar.
Hey, I got that.
An 82%. Followed by Horton Hears a Who, The Mask.
Oh, shit. And what then about The Grinch?
Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events has a 72%. I Love You, Philip Morris. And then finally, Dumb and Dumber with a 68% Rotten Tomatoes.
That's just farce.
Yeah. Garfield. It's kind of wild, right? Like, I was like, eh. The Grinch... it has a 49%. It is not fresh.
On my eyes.
But The Grinch is better than Bruce Almighty.
That's fair.
I thought Yes Man was good. This is kind of weird, like seeing these. You know what's wrong? Batman Forever having a 38%. People just don't know what they're watching.
That is wrong. You want to see something else that's wrong that's not Jim Carrey related? It would be Kung Pao. I think has like an 8 or 12%. Wrong. Incorrect.
No. I don't understand. But anyways, I mean, Dumb and Dumber is, it's funny because it has, it's a perfect comedy, to, in my opinion, because it has a bit of everything for you. And what's interesting about it is while a lot of the jokes are very dumb and stupid, a lot of the jokes you don't pick up on when you're young at all. But you still think the movie's funny. I mean, I thought this movie was really funny growing up. Like really, really funny. And it wasn't until I got a little older, high school, college age, that there were jokes that I started to pick up on more and understand even. Like, tell her I'm rich and I have a rapist wit. Like, that's a really funny line. And it never clicked with me in high school or college. Well, it didn't click with me until high school or college. You know, there's a lot of moments in this movie that are like that. A lot of jokes in this movie that are like that. That you don't necessarily, when you're a kid watching this, it doesn't click. It's so I guess that's kind of why I have fond memories of it, is because I've grown up with this movie in terms of comedy, like understanding jokes and things like that from a young age, not understanding it at all really, or thinking, you know, the poop jokes and, you know, random things were funny. But then as I get older, just appreciating some of the more advanced jokes, so to speak, of Dumb and Dumber. But still, it's still enjoyable to watch all the time. It's just a fun movie to watch. And a really stupid movie to watch at that, but in a good way.
See, I almost disagree with that stupid statement, because I find this, although the title is Dumb and Dumber.
Well, no, I said in a good way.
Yes. Although it's called Dumb and Dumber, I truly think this is one of the more ingenious comedies ever created. I think the writing is brilliant and sharp and clever. The acting is like lightning in a bottle. Can never recreate it, even in its own sequel.
Yeah.
20 some years later. It is, you hear me say this, like if Brothers Movie Factory had t-shirts, one of them would be like top five favorite movies or my number one, whatever. This is my favorite comedy of all time.
No way. We landed on the moon.
It's one of those movies, I never get sick of the jokes, which is weird because I've seen this comedy movie just about as many times as I've seen any other comedy movie, as in like ones I've seen more than once. I never get sick of them. In fact, it's almost like I laugh at different times every time I watch it. Like this time, probably my 100th time watching Dumb and Dumber. I think it's hilarious throughout, but I don't know why Jeff Daniels was tickling my funny bone hard in this watch through. Like his facial expressions, his cadence and how he talked. It was just like, as I've gotten older, I'm like, when you're younger, you watch it for Jim Carrey. And as an adult, you watch it for Jeff Daniels, I guess, because I don't know. He's just so like perfect in this movie. Yeah.
And you're talking about the writing being like smart. There's like little subtle jokes throughout that you honestly might not pick up on your first watch or your second even. Like I remember it was a couple years ago I was watching this movie and there was a joke that I just never really clicked with me. And it's when he's like, my pet parakeet, Petey? Yeah. He died. Oh, buddy, I'm sorry. What happened? His head fell off. His head fell off? Yeah, he was pretty old. Like that, like that never clicked with me. Like he just thought he got so old his head fell off. Yeah. Like that never clicked. But it's fantastic.
That's a scene that makes me laugh all the time. It always does. But this viewing in particular... That's what I'm saying. The Jeff Danielisms, I guess, cracked me up. He's like shaking his head up and down. And he's like, yeah, he's pretty old. So it's, fucking funny. His head felt like too old. That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
Even
that's another quote.
Even it was the same. I think because I had like not watched this for a while, and then I watched it in college, and there's things like the sold things to Billy and Forcey. He's like, you sold to the blind kid? He's like, yeah, just some baseball cards, some matchboxes. Yeah, Petey, like the cough, and then just saying it. Like, you didn't, yeah. There was no point. Like, you didn't say, like, Petey. He just coughed and then said it. It is so good.
You sold my dead bird to a blind kid?
Harry.
I took care of it.
It's good.
That scene, when it cuts to Billy and he's petting the dead bird with tape around his head, got Roger Ebert laughing hard, he said in his quote of the review of the movie, I guess. That particular scene got him going.
That's the only joke that got him. I mean, even the next part, though, like, it's you could say lowbrow comedy, but I think it's funny is they think, like, there's another one that I think of, and these are all early on in the movie, but they, like, get a knock on the door, and they look, and it's the two, like, assassin people. Two of them. One of them's got a gun. Did you remember to pay the gas bill? Do you realize what you've done? Like, that is awesome. Like, that's just so good.
I love that. That's
go to that's, did you that's, pay the yeah, gas bill?
That's the writing of this movie. Like, one of them's got a gun. Did you pay the gas bill?
And then the next scene, they leave the sign. It's like, dear gas man or gasman. He's like, how do these guys know I got gas?
It must be pros.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Real quick.
So many moments like that.
Real quick. You keep doing this.
I'm leaning back.
No. Well, your mic's in front of you, but you're turning your head to the side. And there's a big difference. Because you're not talking at the mic. You're talking at the wall.
I want to talk to the wall. It's my friend.
I want you to take that snowball microphone of yours.
And throw it out the window.
Turn this sumbitch sideways, stick it straight up your candy ass. Also, attach it to your headset, so it's just wherever your head goes, it's right there.
I wish. That'd be awkward.
Anyway, speaking of Jimmy Stewart, we had E3. Do you see there's a Vertigo video game coming out?
Why?
I'm pretty sure, unless that was a joke, but I saw it on a video.
I don't know why.
I gotta look it up.
They're like, oh, yeah, the car chase scene is epic.
Yeah. 0 miles like, an
you know,
hour.
You know what the kids want today? A Miracle on 34th Street.
Alfred Hitchcock. I hope this is real.
Like a psycho. Yeah. A psycho horror movie or horror game would be fun. Interesting.
Yeah, It's an upcoming adventure video game developed by a Spanish company.
But why Vertigo? Is there going to be a mini game where you have to pull up as much cushion as you can?
You have to. If it was on the Switch, you'd use motion controls to pour brandy.
You got to mash the A button to pull yourself up at the beginning and not fall like the other fella.
Yeah, as you're running up the stairs, you see, the more your controller vibrates, that means you're getting the vertigo. You're getting too scared. You got to slow down.
And you got to remember how to dress up Madeline.
If you choose the wrong outfit, you lose.
Yeah, you need to... Oh, Madeline! It just... Why? Out of all... Is there a Dumb and Dumber movie?
Game?
If they're... Or game, rather? Yeah, geez. If they're making a Dumb and Dumber video game, what would it entail? Would it be a driving game?
It'd be like a crazy taxi, and you ride around in the Mutt Cuts van, and you gotta pick up... Pick them up. Pick up passengers and go on a road trip, trying to make your way to Aspen.
So it'd be more like Simpsons Hit and Run, so to speak.
Yeah.
I like.
I don't know if you remember this. It didn't last very long. It was before your time, to be honest. But there was a Dumb and Dumber cartoon.
I don't, but I think I've seen pictures.
Maybe. It was only on for like a season, I think.
It's like era of television where they took everything that was like any R-rated program, and they're like, let's shift this to kids. Yeah. Like RoboCop the cartoon. You can't watch the real thing, so here's the cartoon.
It wasn't a good cartoon, this Dumb and Dumber. And there's also an Ace Ventura cartoon.
Really?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, it sucked.
The Ace Ventura cartoon lasted for a while. I kind of remember the theme song a little bit. Not the Dumb and Dumber one, though, unfortunately.
I could look up the Dumb and Dumber one and play it through my headphones. Honk, 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 honk.
That's Ace Ventura.
I know.
But, this movie, it's infamous in my own mind. I think it's infamous in the history, too. It's part of the year of Jim Carrey. Right, 1994, he made his like leading role debut, I guess, in Ace Ventura. It was a huge hit. He like skyrocketed as like the next Hollywood megastar. His next movie he did, same year, a couple months later, was The Mask, shot to number one, huge mega hit. Then in the fall, he did Dumb and Dumber. Once again, same thing happened. So in 1 year, he came out with three classics in his like debut year. Never before, or I'm pretty sure never since, has that happened. Like an actor's debut year, each of their films skyrocketed to number one at the box office like that. And what's funny is I think it was before Jim Carrey went out to Hollywood. He wrote himself a check for $10 million. And his goal was to someday be able to cash that check. And he certainly cashed it that year. And then some.
Yeah, Jesus. I mean, it's funny because like as you're telling that story, I'm thinking about this movie and I'm just more and more quotes popping into the old noggin. I'm like, I was thinking just the other day, literally just the other day, I was playing Call of Duty Warzone. In that game, you have to put in armor plates to, you know, have a little bit of shields on you. And my one buddy, Flag, had no plates. And we were running around playing the game, and I had some despair, but I didn't realize. And Flag was finally like, any of you guys have plates? And I was like, here, take some of mine. My hands are getting kind of sweaty. And He picked up on it, and he's like, you've had extra plates this whole time? I'm like, yeah, we're in Verdansk, which is the map that we were playing on. He's like, I'm going to kill you, Ben. So he picked up on it, surprisingly enough, but that speaks.
When you started talking Call of Duty, and you're talking like Dumb and Dumber quotes that you're using Call of Duty, I thought for sure you had just been like, die!
Yeah. I have done that before where like we'll land and everyone has pistols and we'll start getting shot and I'll be like, he's got a gun.
I laughed so hard at that scene this time too. You know who the original actor was in discussion to be for Mary's husband?
Brett Favre.
Close. Mel Gibson.
Why? Well, it's like such a throwaway. I guess the cameo would be funny, but
yeah,
it's such a throwaway role.
Exactly. I'm glad they didn't use like a cameo there.
What was all that one in a million talk? That's also probably a most quoted line. So you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah. Yeah, that's up there. That and that sounds good. I'll have that. Lately, I've been saying...
What's the soup du jour? It's the soup of the day. That sounds good. I'll have that.
I've been saying, it's a cardigan, but thanks for noticing.
Yeah.
I've been saying that a lot.
I mean, it's just... It's such a simple plot of a movie, too. You know, there's really not a lot to it in terms of, yeah, in terms of plot. You know, guy falls madly in love with a woman that he drives to the airport. He sees that she drops her briefcase, grabs a briefcase to get it back to her, but isn't able to. It turns out it was ransom money. It was a drop site. That's a great premise. And so they're on their way to bring it back. Meanwhile, there are people hunting them down. Like it's such a
to them, like they're clueless.
Yeah.
They're clueless of what's in the briefcase. They're clueless that not only are these criminals after them, but so are the FBI and other parties. And yeah, the zaniness can ensue. I just love this road trip movie.
And then they get the money. They finally get the money and do all the IOUs. Those, sir, are IOUs. Perfectly legal tender.
Those are as good as money, sir. Yeah, I love that when they first discover that in that briefcase that they've been lugging across the country, they started in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And they're going all the way to Aspen.
Oh, no, the French are assholes.
Yeah. The briefcase has millions of dollars in it. And
we're good
they're good for it. They're struggling in the moment. They're like, we're just use a little bit and, you know, we write up IOUs. They're good for it. What is it? Where does their bond or whatever? And they end up spending all of it. And the scenes that follow, they're rolling up in Lamborghinis, tons of gifts and presents, giving out thousands of dollars to every person passing by. Because they're clueless, and what's so great about their cluelessness is that, I don't know, there's like an innocence about it too. It's not like, yeah, they're dumb, but they're like sweet dumb.
Yeah, bartender.
Oh, that's a great scene. You know what else I love about this movie, and I know, I'll just say it: the soundtrack. I love the soundtrack to this movie.
We had the CD, correct?
I'd end up buying it. But I don't remember the conversation, but I mentioned to you, I was just like, yeah, I was listening to the soundtrack from Dumb and Dumber, and you're like, why would anybody other than you ever say that?
It's true, though. I mean, it has a lot of good tracks. I love the starting theme. Like, that's great.
Yeah, that's a good one. I listen to that a lot. I listen to, I can't remember the name of the track, but it's by the band Dead Eye Dick. Is it called Mary Moon? One's like, yeah. And then it's called If You Don't Love Me, I'll Kill Myself. It's the song that plays when Harry and Mary are going like on their date day, hitting the slopes, making snowmen.
That song that by Dead Eye Dick is called New Age Girl.
New Age Girl, that's right. But probably the track, I don't know why, it has like, it makes me feel good. I like to listen to it when I hit the road on a long road trip. And it's the song that plays after Harry and Lloyd have their falling out. And they go their separate ways, and you do hear the song by the Crash Test Dummies.
Yeah,
is the name of the song. But They meet up.
I mean, headline news by Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah. Lloyd traded the van for this moped. Gets 75 miles a gallon on this hog. And they, you know, Harry forgives Lloyd. He totally redeemed himself. And they still want to go to Aspen. They hit the road on the bike. The song that plays is Where I Find My Heaven. Is that by the Gigolo Ants, I think? Anyway. That song, I don't know why, it just makes me feel good when I listen to it. Where I Find My Heaven. I like popping that on if I'm in a down mood, or like I said, if I'm hitting the road, because it just reminds me of like that. Like if you're in that movie and you're invested in the story and the characters and you're having fun, and they have their falling out, but when they get back together, like you feel good too, and it's off to Aspen on a moped.
That's what you gotta do. Sorry, I got distracted. I heard something. I turned around and the dog was just like peeking around the corner looking at me. I was like, what the hell?
He turned around. It was Michael Myers.
I got spooked the other day. Have you ever seen Annabelle, the movie Annabelle? By chance?
No.
There's a scene in that movie where the lady, the main lady, is like running up the stairs and she like turns around and there's just a demon like standing on the stairs, kind of like staring at her.
I've like, seen that scene. I think you showed me that scene because it is spooky.
Yeah, it was at night and I was like walking up the stairs and I didn't realize that she was behind me. And I turned around and she had like laid down upward on the stairs and she's staring at me. And I turned around with my flashlight and that's what I saw. I was just
like, did you scream?
Kinda. I ran, peed a little. I got worms. That's what we're going to call it. Did you laugh at that part when Jeff Daniels was like, no, Lloyd? Like, just stomping.
Yeah, I always say we save our money. And so what you say, I get a job and save up money for the worm store. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of running away from, what's he say? Running away from, I always thought he said that running away from predators, but that's not what he says. He says running away from, it's such a funny line. Anyway, but if I watch this movie just right, Jim Carrey's next lines will get me emotional, go figure. He's like, you know what I'm tired of, Harry? I'm sick and tired of having to eke my way through life. Sick and tired of being nobody. Most of all, sick and tired of having nobody.
All right, Lloyd. Aspen it is. You better not be fooling.
Let it out. Have a good cry. Okay, that's enough.
How about Dumb and Dumber in the canon of this universe? When's the last time you watched that film?
Oh, it's been maybe 15 years, maybe since it came out on like when it was able to be rentable on video.
Would you believe me if I said it does not hold up?
Would you believe me if I told you, I don't even have to look it up, that has a lower rating on Rotten Tomatoes than Dumb and Dumber does?
Well, I'll say that the only, because I rewatched it sadly recently, is really not a good movie at all.
Now why did you watch it?
Just out of like curiosity. Watched it growing up, and so I was like, it was on a streaming service, I forget what. So I just put it on one night and I'm like, this did not hold up. But its whole premise is awful. Like its whole premise is absolutely terrible. But there are some good moments, I will say. Most notably Bob Saget, with the poop scene. That's another good one. That they dip back into that well with Harry, but they don't do the same thing, so to speak. But I will argue that the two actors that play Harry and Lloyd are very good. They are like they portray them, especially Lloyd. The guy who plays Lloyd is actually very, like, he had his Jim Carreyisms down. But it's good. Captain Rob. Do you remember Captain Rob?
I don't.
It's
a little bit.
It's Harry's imaginary friend. It's how his mom tricks him to go to school. She gives him a treasure map. Captain Rob gives him a treasure map and sends him on his way.
I feel like maybe I should revisit this movie, knowing that it's pure trash. I remember seeing. Do you remember seeing it in theaters?
I do. Yeah. It's not good.
I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
When I was younger, well, of course.
It's one of those movies that came out during that era of the dumb comedy. Like, everything's really stupid, really harsh, like
raunchy.
Aiming more, because this is like more of a teen comedy, so to speak. This is like, it was going more for that American Pie audience, where, you know, this Dumb and Dumber was more of, it was adult comedy, so to speak. But like I said, like, we watched it growing up. You could even argue that, like, Austin Powers is an adult comedy. It is an adult comedy in a lot of ways, shapes, and forms. But we watched it growing up. Dumb and Dumbers, though, is just something special in that, you know, I had a friend recently told me he doesn't like Jim Carrey. And my wife's the same way. She doesn't like Jim Carrey. I don't know why, so to speak. But he, my buddy, told me that he didn't like Dumb and Dumber because he thought Jim Carrey was just awful. He thought it was just a really stupid movie. He doesn't like anything Jim Carrey's in. He does not think he's funny. He doesn't understand why people think he's funny. And I was like, okay, go watch The Office, I guess, because this is like comedy gold. I would argue that Dumb and Dumber is one of the best. I mean, we've sat here and discussed it on a lot of levels, and it is just, it's a movie that never stops. It jumps from one joke to another joke to another joke to another joke, never gives you a second to breathe. And I think the best comedies, while there are comedies that are more slow and methodical, some of the best comedies ever are comedies that take that don't take their time, that just never give you a second to not be laughing. I know that there was a study done a while back, and the movie that got the most laughs per minute was Airplane. And the reason that is if you watch Airplane, there is not a singular, like, second on screen that isn't something funny in that movie. I'd argue maybe a singular, like, 5-second span where there isn't something goofy or funny going on.
Movie like that, and like those like Zucker films, like Naked Gun and stuff, and to a degree, Dumb and Dumber. Not that they're like, they're both comedies, but different like categories of comedy.
Yes.
There's almost always something to look at. There's always something to laugh at. So like, if you missed it one time, the next time you watch it, you might see something else or hear something else. And I think that aids the cleverness of Dumb and Dumber. To the point where here I am, 30 years old, and I mentioned this line earlier where Harry was like, "Oh, I don't know about you, Lloyd, but I'm sick and tired of running from predators." I always thought it was predators. I just looked it up. It's creditors. I'm sick and tired of running from creditors. Because he ran away from the gas man because he thought it was going to kill him.
Pay the gas bill.
So fucking funny. I've watched this movie thousands of times over the, you know, 25 plus years it's been out, and I just heard something new that made me laugh.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like, there's a lot of things that you don't pick up on, like the, yeah, he was pretty old. Even like little things like the when they are having their falling out, not when they have their falling out, right before they discover the money. The money and it's the glove scene. You had a spare pair of gloves this whole time. Yeah, we're in the Rockies. I never thought it was funny, and then it just clicked with me one time. But it's when he's strangling him to death, like he is killing his friend, and he's like, "Harry, your hands are freezing." Like, it's just like his friend's murdering him, and that's what he's concerned about. His hands being so cold, like. That's hilarious.
There's so many jokes to talk about. There's so many scenes to talk about. And we've hit on most of them, but I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the famous bathroom scene.
Yes.
Mentioned it earlier, but it's one of those, like, yes, I've seen it so many times. Like, do I laugh as hard as I always do? Depends. Depends on how drunk I am. Depends on what kind of mood I'm in. It's always funny, but God damn it. Lloyd tricks Harry, fills his tea with a turbo lax. So Harry has to take a poop. And it's the most epic shit ever put on cinema. And,
epic shit.
Yeah, and the cherry on top of the joke is that the toilet's broken. He doesn't know it. But he's having this epic poop, all these farts and things, but it's that last one. It's like... I laugh so hard every time that little squeaker comes out. And Jeff Daniels is like... That's good stuff.
Then you take that and you think of Clint Eastwood in that situation.
He's like,
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just, it's so, there's just little things like that. Like that, you're like, this man is so dumb. Everything about it. Or even, it's funny because we can do this all day. But when Mary throws a snowball at Harry and he gets pissed, he just runs over and tackles her and starts like, they start like beating the shit out of each other.
You look, she got a bloody nose.
From like the snowball he threw at her?
No, like he tackles her and then takes her head and starts shoving it in the snow. And actress Lauren Holly, is that her name? She got a bloody nose from it, and you see it like run down real quick, but then the next shot of her, you don't really see it. That part made me laugh so hard.
Nice, you know, Hooters. And,
yeah. Excuse me? The owls. When Harry gets his tongue stuck to the frost on the ski lift, when Lloyd is hanging at the bar, putting out the vibe, and he lifts up his like tuxedo jacket just to like show off his ass a bit, just like nonchalant, casual. I do that. I pull off that move.
Even like I already kind of quoted it, but like when he's leaving the bar and he sees the framed newspaper of like they landed on the moon, man on the moon, and he just like looks at it. He like walks out, comes back, looks at it. It's like, no way. You hear him running out. We landed on the moon. Like I never picked up on that.
That's an improvised line.
Landed on the moon.
The whole thing.
Oh, perfect.
He was just supposed to leave the bar, but he saw that newspaper. He's like, no way. That's great. That was improvised. And so, and famously improvised is, you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Yeah, I knew that because Jeff Daniels starts laughing if you watch him.
Yeah, and then he participates too. And what's great about that scene is the actor, I think his name's Michael Starr, who played Mental. I think they call him Mental. His name's like Mentanello or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway. Is how well he stays in character and just kind of goes with it and adapts to it. He's also, you see him in movies every now and then. He's one of those actors. He's never like the main guy, but he's always so good. But yeah, that's famously improvised from Jim Carrey, that great scene. Just to divert, we did talk about Dumb and Dumber. Have you ever seen Dumb and Dumber 2?
Once, when it came out after theaters.
You did
see it. Yes. Okay. And obviously, because it is mostly a rehashing, very unmemorable, don't really remember any of it. I remember really the only beginning of it. Like, gotcha! You've been doing this for 40 years for a gag? That's about it. I do know it's an enjoyable enough watch. It's not a good movie, so to speak. But if you're a big fan of Dumb and Dumber, then Dumb and Dumber 2 is just as enjoyable, just for that extra, like, you get a little... It's like Anchorman, and then you watch Anchorman 2. Like, Anchorman 2 is a far less... or I'll say Anchorman 1 is a far more superior film than Anchorman 2. But if you enjoy Anchorman 1, you'll enjoy Anchorman 2 for what it is. Same feel.
Yeah, Dumb and Dumber 2, I don't think is a good movie or even a good sequel. However, it is so much fun to see Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels coming back as Lloyd and Harry all these years later, and just go on another adventure, and we get to see them be dumb and dumber again. There's some good laughs every now and then. I'm like, you know what, I kind of want to watch that movie, and I pop it in. But yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's like most Fairly Brothers films, they're just like, I don't know, most of their movies I don't really like, but I still watch. They're not like bad enough to deter me. I enjoy them. I honestly, the only two movies that they've made that I really like are Dumb and Dumber and Kingpin. I do like Something About Mary.
Kingpin sequel. Did you see that?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm kind of, I'll see it. I'm excited about it.
I need to rewatch Kingpin. That's a fun movie.
I know what it's going to be like. I know what it's going to feel like, I guess. It's going to feel like Dumb and Dumber 2, which, like I just said, not a good movie, but I have a good time watching it, I guess. I'm not offended. Maybe insulted, but not offended when I watch it. Same's going to go for Kingpin 2 or whatever they're going to call it. But yeah, the Fairly Brothers, Something About Mary... But like things like Stuck on You, I find to be enjoyable enough. What's it called? Did they do Me, Myself, and Irene? I think so.
Maybe.
That movie's, you know, okay. But yeah, it's just that was their first two films, was Dumb and Dumber and Kingpin. And they knocked it out of the park, and then I don't know. I know the one, I think it was Peter Farrelly. Did he win Best Director or Best Writing? I think he won Best Writing for Green Book a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. Like Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good for those guys all in all. But yeah, Dumb and Dumber 2. If you enjoy Harry and Lloyd, I say check it out. But just know that it's... nothing like the original. It doesn't even feel like the original. It is similar in concept, but it doesn't feel like the original. But it's good to see those guys back on the road, up to crazy antics, and there are some jokes that are like rolling the floor laughing, I think.
Yeah.
And I feel like it might be one of those movies too that over the years some of the jokes will be more and more funny. I mean, this is coming from you and me. We like some dumb comedies, like some dumb, like not good comedies are some of my favorite comedies. I look to the Steve Martin Pink Panther movies, some of my favorites. Nacho Master Libre, of Disguise. Master Disguise. Yeah, like movies like that.
That was my second guess.
Notoriously not good are some of my favorite comedies.
I was playing Call of Duty the other night, and my buddy Colin was like, he's like, nah, we can't do that. I'm like, am I not turtly enough for the turtle club? And he started laughing. He's like, did you just fucking quote Master of Disguise? I'm like, I did.
Yeah. Hell yeah. But, yeah, Dumb and Dumber is my favorite comedy of all time for, like, the respect I have for it, but how just consistently funnier and funnier it gets over the years and over my lifetime. It just holds up and excels that even. I just find so much enjoyment out of it. I think it's so smart. And even things like the end, when you get that twist, they're like, When are we going to catch a break? And you get the bikini tour bus pulling up, and the Hallelujah chorus hits, and they're looking for two oil boys to grease them up before the competition. It's like, well, you're in luck. There's a town about like 3 miles that way. And like just little things like that.
My friend's a little slow. The town is that way.
Like, that's great. There were three alternative endings to that movie. One where I can't remember what it was. They end up working as bellhops at that hotel with Bernard.
Mm, yeah.
Bernard is Harry Osborne's butler.
Boob.
Not that one. And the other alternative ending is Bernard's grandson needs someone to look after him. So Harry and Lloyd are like, we're on it. Turns out his grandson is Billy in 4C.
Oh boy.
So all these things were alternative endings, but I'm glad they went with the one they chose.
See, wait,
and just had Harry and Lloyd walking home.
This is going to sound stupid, so this will sound dumb for Dumb and Dumber. Is it Billy in 4C? Like,
yes.
4C the apartment?
Yes.
Oh, see, I always thought that was like his last name. Like, in 4C. Billy in 4C, his last name.
Billy in 4C, the apartment number, yeah. Gotcha. See? See? It's like...
Creditors.
Not that makes the movie more clever.
No, that's just me being stupid.
It's just like me when I thought you said he was running from Predators. It's Creditors.
Yeah.
Like, either way, it's funny. But it's just naturally, there's always something new to this movie. In 4C, the apartment. Indeed. And I love that joke. And
doesn't make any sense.
In the sequel, Billy in 4C as an adult is now like a collector of birds.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things I like about the sequel.
Bill Murray's Walter White cameo.
Yeah, right. Best day of my life. So check that out. Check out Dumb and Dumber if you've never seen it. Don't watch Dumb and Dumber. But
maybe. You can avoid that one. Like I said, it doesn't hold up. Like it's offensive in a lot of ways. Like, more ways than one, it is offensive. Well,
as most comedies are.
Shia LaBeouf, though, is in it.
Yeah, he is.
And so is Beans.
And so is the dude, I can't remember his name, but he's in Mighty Ducks. He's the power hitter. And he's also in Daredevil.
And as always, what's his name? Oh, I know his name, and now it's escaping me. Big old eyebrows.
Eugene Levy?
Eugene Levy is in it, which I've gained, like, a new respect for Eugene Levy. He's just, he's like an icon to comedy, I guess. He's in a lot of stuff, and I've watched Schitt's Creek with the wife, and that's kind of, that came to be due to him and his son, Daniel Levy, so it's just kind of interesting, that take of new appreciation for his comedy. But yeah, he's in that movie, and he's not a very good character.
So Dumb and Dumber, this is for June Carey. We decided to kick it off in the middle of the month. We decided to kick it off with our mutual favorite Jim Carrey movie. Next week, I would like to introduce to you, Ben, the Brothers Movie Factory, a more serious side of Jim Carrey. One you've never seen.
What?
Yeah. One of his, a lot of people would argue is his most, like, his best acting, like, serious acting. Yes.
I've seen Eternal, for audio listeners, I rose my hand. I've seen Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. What are you talking about?
You liar!
Yeah, I've seen it.
When have you seen it?
We had the conversation literally like earlier this week. You're like, yeah, that's just not a movie you can't watch, you know, a lot. You watch it every now and again because it's rough. I was like, yeah, I've only seen it once.
Yeah, it was pretty old.
Yeah, like I've seen Eternal Sunshine. I know exactly what it's about. I know who's in it. I know the the idea behind it, and it's just been a very long time, but I know I remember a lot about it.
In the vein of that movie, maybe I erased that memory.
Maybe you did.
I thought for sure you've never seen it.
No.
Well, suck me sideways.
Whoa.
Next week is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Get your tissues, kids, because it's going to be a sad one. I guarantee. I will cry. I guarantee it. That's your cue to talk. The silence.
I was confused. This was like, okay. he guarantees it. Yeah, but before we get there, we have to go do our thing here. We got to finish out the show here. Got the factory, right? Got the factory this week. So, are you ready for that? You good?
Indeed.
Alrighty. So in this portion of the show, this is where we take the film we just watched and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who composed it? Who would star? Same film with just modern booking. So for Dumb and Dumber, we decided just to simply do Harry and Lloyd. Who would we replace Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels with if the film came out today? Same, like I said, same story, same idea. Just who would you do? Who would your comedic pairing be? And so with that being said, Gus, who would you have be your pairing of Harry and Lloyd?
So, for me, I mean, it's hard to think of. This is one of those, like, how do you replace Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels? You don't, but just for fun, we do it here on the factory. So, I don't know why it's, like, unavoidable in my mind, like, replacing Jim Carrey's Lloyd. Who do you do that with? Andy Samberg. Hmm. Andy Samberg from SNL fame, from Hot Fuzz. Not Hot Fuzz. Jesus Christ.
Hot Rod.
Hot Rod. Also one of my favorite comedies. Hot Rod.
If Sean Penn and Nick Frost were slightly younger, I would say they'd be fun. Like a British Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Like The Office.
Yeah, that'd be good.
From Lonely Island fame, he just, like, if you followed his career and his humor, he would be a good fit for Lloyd, where Lloyd is very much like an unknowingly dumb character. He thinks he's smarter than he is. He says things like they're fact almost.
Yeah.
And Harry follows along. He's like, oh yeah, I guess you're right. So I think Andy Samberg would be a good fit for that. Trying to stay in the same like realm of like casting a Jeff Daniels as Harry, a serious actor in a very dumb comedic role. I chose an actor who's known mostly for being a serious actor. He has done some more comedic roles throughout his career, but not many. And that's Paul Dano. I love Paul Dano. He's one of those actors. I haven't seen a whole lot of his movies, but if I know he's in something, like, I will check it out without a hesitation.
Will you drink his milkshake, though?
I will drink it all up.
That's a movie I haven't seen, but I've seen that scene.
Yeah, right. He's in There Will Be Blood. He's in Prisoners.
He's about to be Jim Carrey. He's about to be the Riddler.
That's true. So it only makes sense to put him in Dumb and Dumber, the factory remake. He will be in The Batman. And in my personal favorite movie that I've seen him in is Swiss Army Man, where, yes, he does get to kind of exercise some comedic chops in there, but also very serious, heavy movie. So I see him as my Harry.
Indeed. I had a certain group in mind, or a certain pairing in mind, and they actually switch when you were talking about how the producers of the film wanted two comedians. They wanted two comedians for the film, and that kind of got me thinking. I'm like, what pairing of comedians can I do? And so I decided to go with a pairing of comedians who have not done something together in a little while, because they have kind of gone their separate paths. And that is to play Lloyd, Keegan-Michael Key, and to play Harry, Jordan Peele, because I think that pairing actually works fairly well, to be honest. Keegan-Michael Key, if you've watched enough Jordan and or Key and Peele skits, you'd know that he is known for being a lot more manic and a lot more high energy, whereas Jordan Peele plays the more serious roles a lot of times, or they've done dumb roles, they've done serious roles in their skits. And then since then, obviously Jordan Peele has gone on to become a very renowned director and writer, and is known for more serious things, whereas Keegan-Michael Key has stayed more in the comedic world of things. And I honestly think that they would be able to do this movie. I think they'd be able to deliver the comedy. I think they'd be able to do it all, because we've seen the pairing. I mean, in their, I think, 4 seasons of Key and Peele, they made one of the best comedy sketch shows in a very, very long time, probably since the Chappelle Show. And they have very memorable skits that I still quote. And I think they'd be a good pairing for that. Any thoughts on that?
Interesting choice. I'm in favor of it, but is the coin in favor of it?
Fate.
Let me dust it off.
Dread it. It's been a minute. Run from it. The coin still arrives.
Just the same. We haven't had to flip in a long time.
Yes.
Indeed. And it says you. You're always heads, so I assume it's what you are. So it was heads indeed.
Indeed, there it is. So Jordan Peele, Keegan-Michael Key, Keegan-Michael Key playing our Lloyd, Jordan Peele playing our Harry. Hell, even get Jordan Peele in there to direct it. I don't care. But that is our recasting. That is the show. So you mentioned that next week we're watching Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, a much more serious film. According to Rotten Tomatoes, Jim Carrey's second best movie, critic-wise. It's much more heavy film. So we'll be diving into that one next week. That'll probably entail more discussion, more serious discussion.
Symbology.
Indeed. Numberology. The study of Wumbo. But
we're not doing number 23.
Yeah, no.
That I guarantee.
But that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out over on Twitter. I'll start first with Audioboom. That's our primary source. That's where we'll be posting the show to first, and then subsequently the show gets shipped out everywhere else. So Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, wherever you find your podcasts, hey, we're there. You can also find us over on Twitter. We are at The Bros Movie Pod. That's where we'll be posting clips of the show, links to the show, and other things involved. So be sure to check us out over there. Lastly, you can check us out over on Facebook.
Go to Facebook. You'll find us there. You'll lick it up like it's frost on a ski lift. It'll stick to you. Like us, share what we post each and every week. I like to post memes of what we're watching, as well as links to the things Ben mentioned a moment ago, like Audioboom, Spotify, Twitter, and that.
So that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it, but until next week, brothers.
Brothers.
Brothers.